Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast.
Red Bull penalty cost cap edition. Oh, yeah, here we are. I was trying to make up a title for it on the spot, and we are here to
finally talk
about something that went on last year. We're nearly at the end of 2022, and we finally got the answer to what 2021 and what was going on there. And if you've been living under a rock, or maybe you've just deleted Twitter, I don't blame you. But we have got the news that of the penalty that Red Bull have received from the Formula One's governing body. They've essentially entered into an accepted breach agreement, an ABA, with the FIA. So they were found out after all of the administration and after basically submitting their finances for 2021, that after all the that they breached the cost cap, the $145 million cost cap. They breached it. Now, there's a lot of talk about what did they do, what didn't they do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we now get a clarification that they exceeded by £1.864 million. And within that, there was a £1,431,438 of that was because of some tax credit thing that was not done properly. So not going to get into the nitty gritty of that because who really cares? But I guess the key thing is that they didn't actually knowingly go £1.8 million over. It was because of some different and it was incorrectly submitted parts, wasn't it? So that catering, you know, the Max for catering and all that stuff. That was the part of the 400,000, and the other 1.4 mil was because of this tax credit thing. So, yeah, confirmation, they did exceed the cost cap, and the penalty that they got is $7 million fine, but not from their cost cap, needs to be clarified. This is just literally out of their bank. You know, you owe us $7 million. And then 10% reduction in wind tunnel CFD time, which actually works out at 7% because it's 10% of their 70%, which is 7%. So let's clarify that. So it means they'll get 63% of their allocation rather than 70%. It's very confusing, isn't it? Formula One's not that, you know, 10% penalty. It's not a 10% penalty. It's a 7% penalty.
Yeah.
Which will enrage people even more, I assume. But there you go, Tommy. What's your first thoughts?
Oh, first thoughts are, I'm glad that it's finally out there, is my first thoughts. And yeah, it's a difficult one to really know what the right decision is, because it was never going to, no one was going to be happy at the end of the day. I don't think I've ever seen, this is just the state of Formula One now, Formula One has never been so polarizing with Mercedes versus Red Bull. You know, it feels like that football mentality of like rivalries now, and make of that what you will, whether you think it's a good or bad thing. But Mercedes versus Red Bull, this for me is like the epitome of that rivalry, really. That, you know, Mercedes are the ones in particular, for I've done it as well, like gone in on them, but it very much feels like, you know, Toto's twisting the knife, Red Bull. People obviously will think that it's a harsh penalty if you're on the Red Bull side. If you're on Mercedes side, you think it's a lenient penalty. And yeah, there'll always be people that think that Verstappen, you know, should have been penalized and disqualified from the whole championship. And other people will say, you know, Red Bull have been punished. But now we'll see, because Mercedes said themselves, didn't they, that they know you can go over and just get a fine. And I think at the end of the day, the fine is not really, I don't think, is that much. Even though it's the second biggest fine in F1 history in terms of monetary value, the fine itself is a bit like, oh no, anyway, to a company like Red Bull, isn't it? Let's be honest, because they're big overspenders and would have spent a fortune before that from the budget cap. It's the wind tunnel, which is the punishment for them.
Let's not understate that the 7% that they have been reduced by from 70 to 63 isn't going to affect them, because it will. That every second that they have in that wind tunnel is crucial. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, look, they overspent and therefore they've got an amazing car, so it's not really going to affect them because the changes aren't happening. And fair enough, they do have a very good car already, but that you can't, I don't think you can really say that that £400,000 is what's caused them to have this incredible car. Now, I think a lot of the anger is more towards the FIA here and the fact that it's just not been clear for fans as to what will happen if the cost cap is breached. It was all wishy-washy, vague answer, vague sort of, you know, penalties that could be applied. And
for them, at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's such a difficult situation to talk about, though, isn't it? It's what is the correct way to go about this? On one hand, you want vague penalties so that teams don't know, can't weigh up what they can get away with or not because they don't know what the FIA will decide. Or do you have strict penalties where you have, you go £1 over and you lose everything? Yeah, and
exactly. Because like you were saying at the start, it's all tax and stuff. And people will say, oh, you know, that still means that they've overspent in this area, in this area, but should you be disqualified for the championship for like catering? That's obviously extremely harsh. And then other people would just say, well, you know, a breach is a breach, and if you go over, and that'd be Mercedes' argument now. It'd be really fascinating to see whether Toto Wolff and Mercedes follow up their sort of threats of, well, we'll just go over then, which I don't think would do well.
I think the reason why it wasn't a more harsh penalty is because the FIA sort of stated that they were transparent with their all of their sort of processes. Red Bull didn't try and hide anything. There was no fraudulent behavior from what you kind of understand,
which was the key
said.
Messaging from that Ross Brawn quote, right?
Yeah, it's if you fraudulently go over the cost cap, you know, you will basically be thrown out the championship. The whole tax thing is not something I'm an expert on, so I'm not going to say, you know, if they should have done that better or not. I don't think many people are. But I'm not usually on the fence with things, but this one I'm like, I genuinely don't know what the right answer is. Maybe that's not being on the fence. It's just baffled by how the cost cap can be done or carried out in the most effective way. Probably worth mentioning the other things that were said. The FIA said the decision of the cost cap administration to enter into the ABA constitutes its final decision resolving this matter and is not subject to appeal.
Yeah.
We'll see what Mercedes, et cetera, have to say in Mexico.
It's pretty obvious why they've put that on the end, isn't it? So, because if they hadn't, Mercedes would be straight on the phone going, well, we don't agree with this. And same with Ferrari, to be fair, they've been adamant as well that they don't agree with it and think it should be an extremely harsh penalty, which is funny when they obviously had their little engine fiasco in 2019.
Closed, sealed document fiasco that they all seem to forget about very
quickly.
They're
all as bad as each other, let's be honest. All the team principals, they're all, whatever side you're on, they're all there for themselves. They're all going
to
bend the rules.
Even Zach Brown, that we don't tend to see, you don't really hear from him being properly out there and making like pretty bold statements, but he did, didn't he? If he was like, oh, if there's a team to be found, you know, going over the cost limit, then it's cheating basically. Mm. And I guess you could say, yes, Red Bull did have or spent more than what was allowed. So is Zach Brown now going to carry on and say that they were cheating still? Is he going to keep that up?
What narrative will they keep going with? It's going to be fascinating, isn't it?
It's going to be entirely fascinating because I think it is going to polarize the grid in a lot of ways because big team principals, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren may well still continue pushing on this narrative of this isn't fair and is a 10%, 7% reduction in CFD and a $7 million fine, which is not going to affect Red Bull in the slightest, really enough of a penalty. But then you then weigh up the argument of, is a penalty, should you take into account the fact it's Red Bull and therefore, they won't be hurt by a $7 million penalty. They should be fined $70 million. What I don't understand or think is unfair is that I think that $7 million should come out of their next budget. That hurts a team more and is more of a penalty. The $7 million is nothing. They'll blink and they'll be like, oh, that's gone, isn't it? Oh, it's been replenished with a Red Bull sale across the world.
Yeah, because that's not part of their budget cap, like you say. And Red Bull, for years, have been one of the teams, like Mercedes, like Ferrari, that can spend over the budget cap, right? So the top teams, the reason the budget cap is there is to try and close the grid up, because your Alfa Romeos and Williamses are never going to spend the amount of money that a Mercedes or a Red Bull can. And then it just means that Mercedes and Red Bull are always going to be the best teams because they're miles ahead. They've got so much more money to spend and they'll always be ahead. So this is meant to make it closer. So the fact that Red Bull, 7 million, like you say, is nothing for them really, because they're a multi-billion pound company. You know, that's just, they probably, don't quote me on this, but they probably make that from energy drink sales about every hour. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, they're an enormous company. So a fine that's just out of their back pockets is not good enough, in my opinion. I think that it may well have pleased a lot more fans, not that the FIA are out there to please fans, but also feel like justice has been served, maybe, is that that $7 million was out of their actual cost cap, because then that, you know, that hurts. Or, you know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, look, if they overspend by X, they should then have to pay back 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, whatever. But I fully expect these cost cap regulations to be altered and changed moving forward, when all the teams, especially the big teams, constantly bang on the drum of this isn't fair.
Yeah,
because the FIA can just go back on themselves and just be like, well, look, it's only the beginning. Like, this is just we're still learning. Like, the cost cap, like, we don't know what we're really doing here. We're just trying to feel out what's right for the sport.
Yeah, and then look at, I mean, Aston Martin, again, their procedural breach, they've been fined $450,000, which, again, Lawrence Stroll, like you were saying before we started, probably hasn't even noticed that come out his bank account. So, yeah, it is such a difficult punishment, because money, fining big teams money, yes, that would be huge for one of the smaller teams, but the bigger teams, it doesn't really matter or mean a lot, because it's not really a lot to them.
It's not. There's a lot of discussion going on Twitter and in our Twitch chat, WTF Unofficial, if you don't follow us already. It's a really fascinating topic to talk about. Could you talk about the fact that it is not just one sum, but a 70-page document describing the cost cap? Could you talk about what's that? What do you mean by that? Okay, one. Not sure. Also, Henry says, I feel instead a 1.5 million hit to cost cap instead of the fine is not overly harsh, but will affect them. Like, honestly, I'd not seen two people come up with the same solution to this penalty.
And this just shows that there'll always be disagreements with whatever the FIA decide. You know, I'm not going to pretend that I think the FIA are doing a very good job at the moment, because they're not. And we've also had the Alonso news that happened, which I think is ridiculous as well. Very glad that he got his P7 reinstated, but also at the same time shows that it's a bit embarrassing and they're flip-flopping here and there. But it does just show that you're never going to make everyone happy. And like you say, if they just set a, this is what you get when you break the rules, teams will weigh it up. And that's the biggest thing here, is that teams will weigh it up. And well, Mercedes are already threatening that anyway, aren't they? Going, well, if it's only a fine, we could just spend what we used to, and then go, oh, you've got a £150 million fine. Okay, well, we won the world championship, and that's marketing that we'd, that 150, even if it was like 100 million or whatever, like the marketing behind Mercedes winning the Formula One world championship as a car manufacturer.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it? So, it's a no-brainer. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of quotes, as we heard. Oh, I think Hamilton was speaking about, oh, if we had an upgrade here, which would have cost 100,000 or whatever it was, then they, I know, I'm sure they probably exaggerate the impact that would have had. But also, they're going to say that whatever 400 and whatever thousand it was extra spend could have changed the outcome of the world championship last year. When you look at how close it was between Verstappen and Hamilton, there's a message from 2U. In the chat, 10% flat reduction is better than 10% of 70%. It penalizes lower ranked teams more for cost cap breaches. I think I'd probably say with that, the lower ranked teams aren't getting anywhere near the $145 million cost cap anyway. So I don't think that particularly affects them too much. But I do, yeah, I guess that, yeah, I suppose you do get penalised more even if you don't do as well and still breach. That one's an interesting one. I don't know why they've not gone, because that's what I assumed it was a flat reduction until I then heard that it was not the way.
I saw Karine Chandhok's tweet saying that the financial penalty to Red Bull may appear light. However, losing 10% of wind tunnel time will mean that if everyone finishes in the same order, because of course the wind tunnel time is decided based on where you finish the championship, they'll have 12% less than Ferrari and 17% less than Mercedes. So that's quite a big amount of time for a Formula One team when, you know, like testing is bound and all that. So yeah, we will see how much it affects them.
We will get to
Bahrain next year, and Verstappen's 2 seconds quicker than everyone in qualifying, and we'll go, oh, they're fine then.
That didn't affect them at all.
But if Mercedes have built a rocket ship and it's a lot closer, then we'll see.
Question, Salma Sayed, do you think that the cost cap stuff shouldn't be known to the public?
Ooh.
I feel like the process probably wasn't the best.
No.
In terms of, they've done this, but we'll let you know what happens.
Yeah, the whole process has been a bit ridiculous and delaying it, and that's just fueled the kind of angry mob more, hasn't it? That they're saying, we're going to do it this day, and then delaying it. And then, obviously, one of the delays was due to the Matichitz thing, which is understandable, despite what some people think. But it is understandable. So, I guess this goes way back to something we discussed in the initial podcast, and some will say that that's a non-issue compared to Red Bull actually breaking it, but it should be, in my opinion, investigated how every team knew that Red Bull had done this before it was publicly available. That, to me, is quite sus and makes you think what's going on in the FIA. This information is getting leaked to people in the paddock, journalists. They weren't basing it off a rumor. It was pretty sure that they went in and they knew that this was the case. So, yeah, I'm fascinated that one day we'll probably have like a tell-all book or something about
what's been
going on in all this stuff and the FIA and stuff. That'd be fascinating, because it does seem rather shambolic at the moment.
Oh, Formula One, eh? When are we just going to be able to be like, wow?
What a race. Actually,
to be fair, that was last race. Yeah. And last race as well. We were enjoying that. But we'll probably wrap this podcast up here. Let us know on social media what your opinions are. I'm sure you probably have already, to be honest with you. Every opinion is wrong, apparently. Not right. But here we are. Thanks as always for joining us live on Twitch, WTF1 Official. If you don't follow us already, we're going to carry on Twitch for a little while longer, but on audio platforms, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you very soon for another podcast. Bye.
Waving again.
Waving.
For audio.
You're waving for Twitch, even though we're not leaving on Twitch.
Yeah, true.